We're doing the Sefer HaMidot, we're up to page Shin Mem Vav. The Magen Midovna had been describing the different reasons why people will be silent when someone is cursing them out. If someone is yelling at them and telling them they're worthless and embarrassing them. So he said there are six reasons why a person would be quiet and not answer. He said it could be out of pride, out of wisdom, out of love, out of fear. And now we're up to the reason out of humility, out of anava. Now, the previous reasons were reasons that are fairly common. The most common is that people don't remain silent. The most common is that when someone yells at us, we yell back. You think I'm worthless, I'll tell you what you're worth. So, that's the most common. Now we have to work not to respond. So he gave us four plausible reasons, which are good reasons why a person would be silent and not respond. And now he leads us to the fifth reason. The fifth reason why a person might be silent when someone is cursing them out, ha'anava, is because of humility. Hudaluta nefesh b'nei atzmo. A person looks at himself and he feels that he's not worth that much. V'katnuto ko b'einav. A person says, I know myself, I know my weaknesses, I know my faults, and I'm not so great. V'uchoshev ki kol ma'asher chavero mecharfo en bo'avel. And then he says to himself, so someone's cursing me out. It's not so wrong. Ki hu nivzeh b'einav nimas. Because a person looks at himself and says, look, I know what's wrong with me. And therefore, I can't blame him. He looks at the other guy and says, okay, so he's cursing me out. It's uncomfortable. It's not pleasant, but he's probably better than I am. But tikta nafsho b'inav ad asher advarim shu shomea mipi mechalfo od me'atem lerov dalut nafsho. And a person is so humble that when someone else is cursing him out, he says to himself, boy, I know the truth about myself, and I'm worse than he's saying. So, okay. Now, if we'd be honest with ourselves, every one of us has skeletons. Every one of us has things that the Medrash says God gave us a blessing that we can't read one another's minds. You know, could you imagine what would happen if people could read our minds? And part of our dignity and part of our aspiration to be dignified is the fact that we maintain a certain facade. No one knows what I'm thinking. That's very good. So, but I know what I'm thinking. There are two that know what I'm thinking, right? There's the Ribbono Shel Olam and me. And that's trouble enough, right? So humility is an element of truth. When a person really knows what he's worth. David HaMelech said, "Bakamim alai mireim tishma na'oznai." When people who want to harm me would come to curse me out, I'd listen. I wouldn't deny it. I'd say, let me learn from it. Because we spend much of our lives in denial. We like to assume that we're great. And everything that's wrong with us is little. And what's right with us is great. And then we spend our lives denying that there's anything that needs fixing. Well, there's very little, come on. All in all, I'm a really great guy. I'm really, really great. We don't say that, right? It would be embarrassing. But it's like Mark Twain said. Mark Twain said that when people would compliment him, when they were done, he'd always feel like they didn't say enough. And then he'd be embarrassed thinking that. He'd be embarrassed that that's what he thought, but he knew full well that's what he thought. So that's part of our nature, that we tend to overrate ourselves. But the more a person is honest and truthful, so then humility is natural to him because he knows what he's really worth. That's part of being honest. And then that honesty could help a person. It helps a person maintain perspective. So someone said something unpleasant to me, but that doesn't mean it's wrong. It's not pleasant to hear it from him, but that doesn't mean it's wrong. I told you a line which is true but very annoying. Very often if someone will ask me, why are you upset? My answer is, because I haven't yet worked on my traits enough. So people get annoyed when I say that, but it's the real answer. People will say, but no, what did I do that upset you? What you did wouldn't upset me if I would be a bigger person. The real reason it's upsetting me is because I haven't yet worked on myself. Right? That's the truth. We don't like saying that. No, you did this and that and other thing. Okay, so the fifth reason is if a person is humble enough to recognize his true worth, so then that's reason enough to be silent. Hashishit, the sixth reason is ha'emuna. And here the Magid Midivna is going to take us, in one paragraph, he's going to summarize a whole philosophy. A person hears his shame and doesn't answer, because he truly connects, he truly believes what Chazal taught, and Adam nokef etzbo lemata lein ken machizin alav lemala. The Talmud says in Tractate Chulin, if you're banging a nail into the wall, you don't miss that nail and hit your finger unless they decreed it in heaven. You don't stub your toe unless they decreed it in heaven. Uvein safek lo izdamin ba'olam davar katan o gadol. And undoubtedly nothing would happen in this world, small or big, bilteim kadma alav gzerat haborei yitbarach, unless it's been decreed so in heaven. You know, the Talmud says, if a person sticks his hand into his pocket and he doesn't find the change he's looking for, so he has to start rummaging through his change to find that coin, that's also been decreed in heaven. K'ma'amau Mashiach Hashem alav ha-shalom. As King David said, King David was at the low point of his life, after finally unifying the Jewish people and leading so many successful military campaigns. His own son turns the people against him, leads a rebellion. David is exiled, and the majority of Israel has turned on him. His own son is trying to kill him. David breaks out with tzaraat, leprosy. He asks Hashem, and Hashem doesn't answer him. It's as though Hashem has no interest in a relationship with him, and he's not sure if he's going to live. And as he is running out of Jerusalem, David, as he's running out of Jerusalem, fearful for his life, his nemesis, the chief rabbi, the head of the Jewish court, Shimi ben Gera, comes after him, throwing rocks and cursing him and saying, "Run, flee, get out of here, you murderer. Tsei, tsei, isha damim v'isha belial. Run, get out of here, you murderous soul, you person who has no yoke of heaven on you. God has finally repaid you for all the things you've done wrong." And as he's saying that, throwing stones in David's direction, so David's nephew, I don't remember if it was Yoav or Avishai, one of the two, says to David, "Why don't I just go over there and remove his head?" And he was obviously capable of doing that, he was chief general of the army. To which David answers, "No, don't go fight him. Ki Hashem amar lo kalel. Because if he's cursing me, then obviously God has decreed it that I should be cursed." So when a person is cursed, he can view it as, "Oh, well, who are you to curse me? Who do you think you are?" Right? That's the regular response. But if a person has emunah, then his thought is, obviously in heaven I was supposed to hear this. He might be wrong, but that doesn't mean that it didn't have to happen. It might be uncomfortable. Now, sometimes you have to answer. Sometimes it's a question of Chilul Hashem. If you stay silent, then it could be a desecration of God's name. But we're talking about instances where that's not relevant, where it's just uncomfortable. So in such instances where the true, correct response is to be silent, one of the tools a person can use, if he's a really big person, is he can connect to this idea that God's running the world. And then he doesn't have to have any hatred for the person who's cursing him, nor would he blame him, because he thinks to himself, it's not really him that's cursing me, like David said, he's just got bad luck that I'm getting cursed through him, but obviously I was supposed to get cursed. So then what did I have to fight him for? Obviously in heaven it was decreed that this should happen. Who are you going to fight? The one who runs the world, who created the world, who's watching over everything? If this is what I'm enduring, then obviously I was supposed to endure this. And if so, then a person should accept it with happiness, with love, and it should even be pleasant, even though the other guy, his intention is evil. Elokim chashava letova, but God obviously has a positive intention with all this. Lazkireni al yadom asheyesh elai letaken. Obviously, this person who's telling me all these things is, so to speak, God's mouthpiece. He's reminding me what I have to improve in myself. Vani tzarich el advarim shoshamati kmo lalechem el amazon. And I need it like bread and other sustenance. I need that. So that's the way a big person responds. When someone comes and curses him out, he says, wait, I want to hear every word. So you meant to say that? You try to understand because you can grow from it. And a little person looks at the one cursing him and says, who are you to curse me? A bigger person says, wait, I want to understand what you're telling me. I'm with you.
This is a very nice idea, but most of the time in everyday life, they're not trying to teach you a lesson. They're just venting. They're just angry.
That's what he said. He said, the one who's yelling at you, it's because he's got a problem. But so what he's yelling, very often what he's saying is very worthwhile.
Okay.
I'll tell you a story. I was once actually minding my own business. Okay? I had...
I have a similar story.
No, I'll tell you. I had a chavrusa who was younger than me, and we would learn together. And there was a guy who sat next to this chavrusa. I didn't realize he was listening in, day out, day in, day out. And I'm getting on his nerves. I didn't know it. Until one time I said something to this chavrusa of mine, and... he asked the question, and I said, I don't know. I don't know of a source that says that, and I don't know the answer to that. So this guy gets out of his seat, and we're in a pretty public place. And he says, you are such a stinking liar. I said, what did I lie? What did I say? So he said, and you're arrogant too. I said, what did I say? I said, I don't know. He said, yeah, you're playing games. When you don't like the answer, you say, I don't know. I said, but I honestly don't know. And then he's like cursing me out. You're playing games. You don't want to express that opinion. You don't want to be honest with your chavrusa. I really didn't know. But here I am being yelled at in public. And in all honesty, I didn't lie to the guy. I wasn't playing games with the guy. And it was very uncomfortable. But I said to myself exactly what he's saying here. I didn't argue with him. I just listened, and I said, okay, if someone's telling me these points, then obviously these are points I can work on. Maybe he's misunderstanding me for 3 weeks sitting there. Or maybe he's understanding me better than I'm understanding myself. I rubbed him the wrong way. The truth is, I never spoke to the guy. I didn't even know he was listening in for 3 weeks. What, that someone cursed you out?
Yeah, I mean, they weren't like cursing, but they were like screaming at me. They had their arm around my chair, and they kept on like thumping on my back. And I never talked to this guy before. And I was like, "Hey, do you mind moving your hand?" And he started screaming how weird I am, and all these like I have no friends. And I'm like, "Jesus, dude, small little favor."
I agree with you. There are people that have attitudes, and there are people that. That have their own issues. Very often when someone yells at you, it's because he has his issues, not because of who you are. And still, if a person listens closely, very often you'll hear points that are worth hearing. They're not comfortable, and other people might not tell you, but that doesn't mean they're not worth hearing. I could tell you other stories in my life where people really yelled at me. There's a person who I tried to help in many, many ways, and he won't talk to me. He won't answer my phone. He won't open the door when I knocked at his house. He lives all alone. Poor guy. I once was concerned because he wasn't answering my calls. So I took a taxi. I went over to him. I was in between classes just to make sure he's okay. The guy's living all alone. He wouldn't even open the door. That's how how bad it is. Now, why is he upset at me? Because when one of our children was born, he said to me, you know, I'm so embarrassed. I don't have a family. I don't know how I'm going to come to your bris. And we were good friends. So I said to him, you know, if it's such a heartache for you in your emotional state, I'll make it easy on you. I won't tell you when the bris is. So he got insulted. I didn't even know he got insulted. I only discovered weeks later. How could you make a bris without telling me? But I did tell you. I called you up. And then you told me that you've been for days debating and deliberating and you have all this heartache that you're going to show up to the bris and you're the only one without a family and it's an embarrassment. You don't want to do it. Okay, so I tried to do what was good for you. I said, okay, I won't invite you. You know, I won't tell you when it is. And then you don't have to worry how to do it. And I, ever since then, he won't talk to me. But first, he came and gave me a whole Musa Shmuz about how wrong I am. And you know what? Till today, I keep thinking over, hey, where was he right? Where was he wrong? It's not comfortable for me to hear it. And even today, I can justify and explain why I think I was in the right. But maybe I wasn't. Maybe I have what to learn from it. So I keep asking myself the same question. I repeat in my mind what he said, and I analyze, is there what to learn from or not? It's a...